to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Associate Professor Jennifer Curtin. Hello, Jennifer, how are you?
Good morning. Fine, thanks.
Lovely to talk to you this morning. It's been an interesting week in politics, as it always is. And Labor's new immigration policy was received probably better than anyone expected.
Yeah, well, I think it's got a clear message, and it's targeting a particular group of what they would call low-skilled workers. So it's kind of easy to digest, and the numbers were really big, you know, 20 to 30,000 drop. And so, you know, there's a sense that they're not just tinkering, that, you know, for those who are concerned about migration levels or net migration, that this sounds like it could actually be a reasonably quick fix in the short term while we catch up with other things like infrastructure and so on.
Do you think that they just put together a whole lot of sort of buzzwords, or they actually, do you think they've actually got a thing here? Is it a thing? Is it a viable thing?
Well, I think the focus on international students doing the low-level courses, so that's the pre-degree programs and some of the private institutions, cashes in on something that actually was a concern. A lot of students were being exploited coming in from India, and there were some shonky programs here that were ending up being ripped off. And so that happened last year. So focusing on the pre-degree programs, they're saying will at least reduce it by sort of 10 to 15,000 a year in itself. Now, so long as they're not undermining legitimate, international students who want to come here and study at schools and approved tertiary providers, then I don't see why it looks like it's viable in the initial sense anyway. So businesses are still nervous, and we do have to be careful about the higher education sector, because it is like one of the biggest income earners for our country alongside dairy.
But are you suggesting it's a double-edged sword with that it might actually weed out some of the shonky operators and tighten up the make it a little bit more above board for the those students that do come over here?
Yeah, I think that's their intention. They're trying to sort of hit two birds with one stone. Obviously, this is only going to happen if they get elected. I think the other thing that they're concerned about, the sort of hole, if you like, is that students might come for a one-year shonky course without realising it's shonky, say, and then get to apply for sort of the visa in that process, and then people stay on, and they might not necessarily then go on and enrol in other forms of tertiary education, and they might not fit the skilled workforce set that we're looking for in terms of new migrants.
So it's not, so there's no, it can't be, can it can't be accused of being a racist, can it?
I didn't see anything in their announcement that,
no, they're really careful not to make it not
well,
sound like,
yeah,
that.
Because they kind of got into trouble a few years back. I think it was Twyford who sort of started talking about migrants and housing and, you know, Chinese names and all that sort of thing. And so they'll be being really careful around this. I think they have to convince the regions. So a lot of these new migrants do come to the cities, particularly Auckland. We know Auckland's net migration is, you know, makes up like 2/3 of the total that come here at least. But the regions are really still a little bit nervous about how this would work in terms of their seasonal workforce and what they need, you know, which isn't always high-skill workers. So, but you know, if Labor became the government, you'd imagine they would have conversations with regional, you know, councils and businesses around that.
I thought Bill English's response was a little bit lacklustre, to be honest. I was expecting something a little bit more cutting, but he sort of went, oh, well,
yeah, I think this is, this was always a risk for National, that they could sort of get wedged on this, because they have allowed, you know, a degree of free rein in this space, and, you know, net migration is something they championed, you know, early on in 2008. It was like, bring the Kiwis home. We, you know, at that point in time, more Kiwis were leaving than were coming back. So in their time in government, we've seen a complete reversal. So we have more people coming in than people leaving now. And that stimulates economic growth, not necessarily the kind of productivity-informed growth we'd want. So So it was going to be difficult for him to sort of be, you know, a totally cutting of this policy, because they haven't got something themselves that looks like it's going to have an impact like this one might.
So as far as catching votes for the election, all they need now is for people to understand it.
Yeah, this has often been Labor's problem when they've... So if they can be really clear with okay, we're just focusing primarily on this, you know, group, that we're going to cut access to visas for this cohort, that's going to, you know, and they can get their messaging right, then this is kind of a strong appeal to swing voters, I would say, who might be wavering towards Winston or thinking about...
Waver towards Winston.
Yeah, waver towards... and or who might be thinking that they're over national, not dealing with net migration.
What have happened to Winston Peters? Last week he was going to be the ruler of the nation, and it was all about him.
And then
the news changed again. And whoop.
Yeah, well, the Radio New Zealand poll this morning actually has him still as kingmaker. So he's on something like 9%, and because Nats are only on 45, they've done the count, extrapolating across, counting Peter Dunne in the mix and everything, that National would still only have 59 seats, which means they need Winston. So he might have had a low profile the last week, but
he'd be smug as this morning, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's still in the mix. He's totally still in the mix. So
we'll cross over to the what was going on in the colourful old United States of America yesterday. The sessions in session.
Yeah.
This is the top lawyer of America's top lawyer had to go and testify in court, essentially, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's appearing in front of the Senate committee and basically, in a way, just ran a party line and said that he couldn't say anything. So in the
good
end,
lawyer.
Yeah. So he's sort of invoking privilege, if you like, and saying that it's not appropriate for him to reveal the conversations that he's had with the president, and lawyers there are saying, well, actually, he can't make that claim. Only the president can make that claim. So, and then the senators are feeling obviously really frustrated because they're not getting the answers that they want about Comey's dismissal. So really this just seems to be going round and round and round.
So House of Cards. This season of House of Cards. The is he allowed to do that, or is that just is he just doing a big suck up to Trump?
Oh, I think both. He can claim that he doesn't want to speak. They can't, I suppose.
Can he have private conversations with? I suppose he must be allowed to have private conversations with the president and not have to disclose what they're about.
Yeah,
I guess unless they're about colluding with Russia.
Yes. Well, look, I don't know the intricacies about what he is and isn't he allowed to do.
Right.
But I think there are sort of 9 legal experts who are saying he shouldn't be. He can't really legally claim that he isn't in a position to answer these questions, but they would have to charge him with something, I'm assuming, to be able to force him to speak if he's not speaking. But I think at the moment now, with the shooting that happened this morning of the third-ranked, you know, the Republican whip, that this is going to sort of take a bit of a back seat for a couple of days, at least in terms of...
I hadn't even heard about that. What's that news?
So there's... every year they play a game of baseball out.
Oh, I did
the
hear that. I heard the back end of it, yeah.
Yeah, so there's the guy who's been shot, Steve Scalise, is like third in line in the Trump presidency for the presidency, because he's like in the House and majority leader in the House. And he's been critically injured along with, and it's apparently they're saying the guy who was the shooter was a Sanders supporter. So I think for the the next sort of 48-hour news cycle, we're not really going to hear much about Sessions anymore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you get the House of Cards theme music for me, please? That's ridiculous. It's one of my favourite themes as well.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
And a baseball game. I know, I know where I'll get them at that baseball game where no one will see me do it.
No, well, they were practicing. All these Republicans were practicing, so it could have been a lot worse. because the actual game against the Democrats is tomorrow, and Nancy Pelosi has come out and said the game's going to go ahead because we're so passionate about our national game. But yeah, it's looking, you know, like there was an intent to go and, you know, shoot up a bunch of Republicans.
Did you by any chance catch the cabinet meeting that he had, where he basically went around the whole room and getting people to say how great he was?
No, I didn't see that. I think probably sometimes I reach saturation point on the Trump stuff. So, and I do have to say that I think that the UK election has been much more interesting and fascinating in this past week than perhaps some of the Trump stuff that's been going on.
You right. guys know that is the beginning to King Lear, though, right?
Yeah.
The beginning to King Lear is a very powerful man making everybody in his ilk go around the room talking about how much they adore him, and we all know what happens to King Lear.
Tell us what happens to King Lear.
Yeah.
He goes mad.
Oh, we don't want that.
Stands on the moors in the rain, loses everything he has. There you go. There's the theme music.
All right, real quickly though, so why was the UK election more interesting? I mean, obviously it was, but tell us why. Tell us why you think so.
Well, because we, you know, May wanted a soft Brexit, went to get her majority up, and is now going to have to go into coalition of some kind with people who are even more conservative than her own party on a whole range of things. So it's really turning out to be, you know, the sort of election result from hell for her, and she was the one who instigated it. So, and I don't think anybody apart from YouGov a couple of weeks ago predicted the exit poll and the hung parliament outcome that we saw.
Well, the world, eh? The world. Who knows what's going on in the world? Hey, Dr. Jennifer Cousin, thank you very much. Thank you very much for thinking much indeed for talking to us for political commentary this morning. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.